This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
The important thing is that we have a zero tolerance policy for any mistreatment of staff or any sexual harassment of any type by anyone.
Senate President Joe Negron tries to lay down the law in his chamber just before more explosive sexual harassment allegations. This one involving powerful Senator Jack Latvala.
I am convinced that a lot of what's going on is an organized effort to tear down the Senate prior to session and make us weak.
There is a lot going on in Tallahassee involving spies and private eyes and the so-called code of silence involving the power of sex.
You know, we think this is an avoidable, preventable crisis, and we want answers. We want an investigation into looking into what happened and what needs to change.
Several advocacy groups are calling on the legislature to investigate Governor Rick Scott's role in the nursing home deaths. Plus, those in the nursing home industry push back against Scott's orders for them to install generators.
I think getting them by next hurricane season is going to be a challenge for most providers. But I think 45 days is just, it can't happen.
All that and more coming up on episode 126 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. So last week, investigative reporting by Politico's Alexandra Gloriosio caused the incoming Senate Democratic leader, Jeff Clemons, to resign.
You know, I had gotten a tip about some sexual harassment stories from a source earlier in the week, and it was kind of a slow legislative week.
Did you catch that? Alexandra said stories, meaning there was definitely more story to tell about Tallahassee's open secret that some characterize as being kept in a code of silence. But let's examine Alexandra's original reporting.
They had this kind of juicy tidbit in there where it turned out that the Florida Senate's Republican budget chief, Jack Latvala, and the caucus's Democratic leader, Senator Oscar Brainin, got roped into cleaning up the fallout of this affair. And I thought that, you know, it was just sort of representative of the culture.
There goes that characterization again. What is it about the culture of Tallahassee's political scene?
You know, during budget negotiations, this leadership essentially is all sort of running around trying to take care of logistics from the fallout of one lawmaker's affair.
Be sure to listen to my in-depth interview with Alexandra Glorioso, aptly titled Legislative Affairs, on episode 125 of The Rotunda. Since that interview, the plume of sexual allegations has spread to the powerful Senator Jack Latvala.
You know, we're all human beings. We all make mistakes. We all see what we want to see sometimes. The difference is a guy like Jack Latvala doesn't talk about other people who do it.
At this time, while speaking at the annual Associated Press legislative briefing, Latvala apparently only knew he was simply fed up with Politico's line of questioning, not realizing several women have come forward accusing him of abusing his power. Here is Alexandra and Jack.
Senator Latvala, following up on a comment you just made about, you know, the government staying out of people's lives, what they do and who they do it with in their personal lives, do you think that the Senate President should have opened an investigation into Senator Jeff Clemons' affair with the Broward County lobbyist?
Well, I think in this particular case, that moved along and Senator Clemons was no longer a member of the Senate very quickly after he announced it, and therefore it's not a matter for the Senate to be concerned with. So my answer to that would be based on the circumstances. At this time, no.
Note, Latvala's personality is commonly dismissive, so there's not much reading into his responses. Soon after his exchange, about a day later, Politico published a story with six women accusing Latvala of groping and sexual harassment. The Republican gubernatorial candidate, is now feverishly defending himself against those who say, according to Politico, that he inappropriately touched them without consent or uttered demeaning remarks about their bodies. The women include Senate staff and, coincidentally, lobbyists, affiliated with both major political parties, according to Politico. Latvala is lashing out at Politico, calling the organization fake news. In a statement, he said it's hard to confront anonymous accusers, and he unequivocally denied the allegations that have been made against him.
The important thing is that we have a zero tolerance policy for any mistreatment of staff or any sexual harassment of any type by anyone, and all of us are held to a high standard of professional conduct.
Senate President Joe Negron, who was already trying to revamp sexual harassment rules in his chamber, will now have to field the reported complaints if they step forward. Some of the women, those who are lobbyists, say they fear Latvala might lash out at their clients.
We are a pro-report policy. We want people to feel comfortable to report any type of misconduct in the workplace. It can be done confidentially. It will be investigated, and anyone who is found to be responsible for any type of misconduct, there are consequences set out in our rules, and those will be enforced.
Meanwhile, Latvala claims the timing is quite peculiar as he's running for office, and there's a lot of political opponents on the attack.
I am convinced that a lot of what's going on is an organized effort to tear down the Senate prior to session and make us weak so that we have a hard time standing up on the issues we care about.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gones, bringing you the stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous contribution to rotundapodcast.com. It helps us to expand our reach. This program is featured on newspaper websites across the country, and we couldn't do it without your support. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, and even on Facebook. And check us out where you can easily hit the donate button on rotundapodcast.com. We welcome your generous contribution again, along with your tips and story ideas. And as always, thanks for your support. So it's safe to say that there is more to the story about Tallahassee's open secret, the power of sex, influence involved in the so-called culture of Tallahassee. There is more to the stories, and we will continue to follow them. But switching gears, and another big issue, advocates plan to deliver petitions from more than 12,000 concerned citizens calling on the legislature to investigate Governor Rick Scott. After Hurricane Irma knocked out power at a Hollywood nursing home in September, more than a dozen residents died after temperatures soared and residents were left in the suffocating heat. Several advocacy groups argue the deaths were avoidable and are demanding answers from the governor, who they say ignored and deleted all calls for help left on his voicemail. Brandy Doyle with Credo Action says they are heartbroken and outraged.
Because this isn't a story just about one nursing home. It's not a story just about the lack of generators, but that's an important issue. It's also a story about Rick Scott's long-term mismanagement and lax regulation of this industry.
Scott's office says it acted lawfully by deleting the voicemails because the records were transitory and of no future value. State Attorney Jack Campbell of the Second Judicial Court sided with Scott's claims and declined to open an investigation. However, Doyle hopes the legislature will be able to look at Scott's history of weakening the oversight and regulation of Florida's nursing homes, which she says have left many that are substandard open for business.
We know that Rick Scott has weakened the agency responsible for advocating for nursing home residents when he fired Brian Lee in 2011, who was the ombudsman for elder care in the state.
It's not clear how receptive the GOP-controlled legislature will be to opening a probe of Scott, but in the wake of the deaths, several lawmakers have signed on to legislation that would require nursing homes and assisted living facilities to have working generators. Senate Bill 284 by Lauren Book requires nursing homes to have an emergency power source.
So, my name is Kip Corvo, and I am the director of mission for the Bon Secours St. Petersburg Health System. What I would say, what I think about the governor's order is I think that everyone agrees within the nursing home and the ALF industry that we all want to keep our residents safe. I mean, I think that everybody's agreed on sort of the end goal. I really think the struggle has been over the short range. How do we get to that point? And really the issue is that getting generators and installing generators that power facilities is an incredibly complicated endeavor. It takes months and months of time. The generators have to be specially built for each facility. It's not a simple process. Our organization built a generator in 2011 that powers our nursing home, and it cost in 2011 $500,000. It took us almost 18 months to get it up and running and installed properly. So to get something done in 45 days, really, you know, I think with all the best will in the world and all the sort of resources, I just don't think can happen.
And that's Kip Corvo. So is it so complex that the industry will once again, like it did in 2006, push back against the mandate to have generators installed?
I don't see that. So I was part of a meeting which happened in Tallahassee soon after the tragedy at Hollywood Hills. And I would say to a person, everyone wanted to build generator capacity to cool residents and keep residents safe. I think that was a universal kind of norm. Again, I think the issue is more of the inability to sort of get the resources in such a short time frame. I think getting them by next hurricane season is going to be a challenge for most providers. But I think 45 days is just, it can't happen.
Special thanks to Kip Corvo for weighing in. One other note, when the state's former elder care ombudsman was on this program a few weeks ago, he claimed nursing homes and assisted living facilities had plenty of cash on hand despite claims that they can't afford upgrades to their facilities. Here's Kip Corvo's response.
And perhaps there are nursing homes or ALFs that are awash in money, but I don't know any. I find that the margins are incredibly tight and reimbursement continues to be pressed downward and our costs continue to go upward to provide the quality care and the staffing.
That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Credo's Brandy Doyle and Kip Corvo with the Bon Secours St. Petersburg Health System. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. Be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.